Welcome to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church on this third Sunday of Advent. I'm glad to see you all here today. There are a few announcements. First and foremost, please remember a congregational meeting will be held today following service to nominate officers and to approve the budget for 2023. So please hold tight after worship. It'll just take a few minutes, as long as you don't argue about anything. And yeah. So I heard that. Next week is the fourth Sunday of Advent, and that is also going to be the last week of our Advent Sunday School that starts at 9:15 in the library. We are going to take a little hiatus from Bible study, and I'm going to Guatemala for a week or so in January. So when I come back, we'll start a new a Bible study for Sunday school. I'm looking at a curriculum about women in the Bible. So we'll talk about that more when we get there. Also next week, Jesus' birthday party. Cannot miss it. It's like the event of the year. Please bring a dish to pass. And if you want to participate in the gift exchange, a gift of no more than $10, wrap it up, bring it with you. And we'll be singing some carols and enjoying some food, and it'll just be a great time. Oh, cupcakes. Can't forget cupcakes. I got a lovely letter in the mail from the Bread of Life Food Pantry thanking us for the much-needed cleaning supplies and for our donations throughout the year. They were able to support over 140 families every month because of some of the help. And then at Thanksgiving, they distributed over 140 turkeys, side dishes, and pies. And they're working on Christmas now as well. So much thanks for all of your help in gathering up those cleaning supplies for the Bread of Life Food Pantry. Angel Tree gifts are due next Sunday. Please bring your wrapped Angel Tree gifts with the tag taped on the outside. Also, I sent out earlier this week an email about the Presbytery Landscape Study. Please fill it out, even if you think you don't know anything about the Presbytery, especially if you think you don't know anything about the Presbytery. I also have a few printed copies in the back, so if you don't have the internet or you're not comfortable filling out a survey online, you can fill that out. You can either mail it back yourself, or if you'd like to give it to me, I will mail them as well. Any other announcements? Anything I've missed?
I have one that kind of just came up. Mm-hmm. When I did drop off the food bank supplies, they gave us a box of personal care wipes. Individually, uh-huh. Like packaged ones. I put some up back on the back table. They would like us to share.
Okay, so when Kathy dropped off the cleaning supplies, the food bank gave us some packages of personal wipes. They're back there on the table. Please feel free to take some. Oh, I guess a reminder that Christmas Eve service, Saturday the 24th at 7 p.m. And then Christmas Day is a Sunday. We will have a brief service, a non-formal service at 9:30 on Christmas Day. But then we'll go back to 10:30. Okay? Anything else that I have missed? All right. With that, Let us gather our hearts and minds and proclaim our readiness to worship God with our call to worship. We are those who listen and look for a message from God. We await a message of hope, of friendship, of help. In this season of Advent, we seek out those who are messengers of the good news. We light a path of the messengers that they will find their way to us. Let us worship God who sends messengers of glad tidings for us and the world. Please rise in body or spirit and join in our opening hymn, O Come, Emmanuel. God is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. Let us embrace this time of confession with honesty and humility. God of majesty and glory, we are thirsty for your grace. You made a way for us in the wilderness, and still in our foolishness we go astray. We hide our eyes from your presence. We do not listen to your word. We are lifeless when we ought to dance, and speechless when we ought to sing. Forgive us, O Lord. Speak peace to our fearful hearts. Strengthen our weak hands, and make firm our feeble knees as we seek to follow in your holy way. Amen. Now return to the Lord with joy and gladness. Sing a song of redemption. Let sorrow and sighing be no more. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God.
Amen.
Friends, let us profess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from whence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Siblings, let's greet one another with signs of peace. Sorry, I stole your thunder. Please be seated for our Advent candle lighting.
May this feeling of gladness and wonder fill our days throughout the year.
we pray this in your holy name.
Let us now lift up our prayers of concern and joy for the world, the church, and one another. Mike Love asks us to pray prayers for Mike, that Mike got hurt at work and is in a lot of pain, so prayers for comfort and healing. It says hubby. I'm sorry. From Lynn, I'm sorry. This is what you get. This is what you get. So prayers for Mike, Lynn's hubby, who got hurt at work. So prayers for comfort and healing for Mike. I heard Roy's knee surgery went really well, but he's at home recuperating.
He's doing well, yes.
Yeah, so thanks for the prayers for that, but continued prayers, a knee replacement is no joke. It's not fun. Keep everyone in prayer. All right. Please pray with me. On this third Sunday of Advent, we rejoice, Holy God. We rejoice in body, mind, and spirit because we recognize your presence among us. As you restored the people of Israel, returning them to the promised land, you are also at work among the wilderness and despair of our lives. May the joy you graciously offer serve as a stepping stone through our wilderness experience. May the joy of love and life surround us when suffering overwhelms. Merciful God, you know us and love us despite our faults and failings. You look upon our hearts and discern our honest intentions. As we turn to you now in prayer, guide us by your Holy Spirit, that our petitions for others may serve your will and show your steadfast love. God, hear us as we pray for our world. We pray for an end to the ongoing war in Ukraine. We pray for an end to nuclear proliferation, for nations to value diplomacy more than saber rattling. We pray for hearts hardened by violence, be healed by love and grace. We pray for evil powers to be overthrown, for wrongs to be made right, for those thirsty for justice to be satisfied. God, hear us as we pray for the church. Gracious God, you have called us to be the church of Jesus Christ, yet disagreements and division mar our unity. Hold us together in faith and service, breaking bread together and proclaiming the good news to the world. May our conversations be faithful and meaningful, taking on tough topics, open to hearing diverse perspectives and welcoming the disturbance of Christ's countercultural call. God, hear us as we pray for our nation. God of comfort, stand with those who grieve, those lost to senseless violence. Open us to legislative solutions so we can cease the mass shootings, overthrow the powerful forces that feed our addiction to guns and profit off of our fear. Help our leaders value the lives of our nation's people over their political positions. God, hear us as we pray for our loved ones. God of compassion, bless us and those we love. Heal the sick, comfort the grieving, strengthen the weak, calm the anxious, renew the weary. Mighty God, whose words we trust and whose spirit enables us to pray, accept our requests and further those which will bring about your purpose for our world. Finally, hear us as we pray together the prayer that Christ taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, And forgive us our debts as we forgive those, and not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Please rise as you're able and join in our hymn of meditation from deep within a prison cell.
Thank you.
Please be seated. That was so perfect, Mickey. Like, man, so perfect. At this time, let us bring to God our offerings with thanksgiving that God provides more than enough for all. Let us give as each is able for the benefit of Christ's church and God's world. Gracious God, in gratitude for all that you have given us, we bring our tithes, offerings, and labor to help feed a hungry world that's hungry for healing and hope, for the sake of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Good morning. Good morning. Today's scripture is Matthew 11, 2-11. When John heard in prison that the Messiah was doing what he was doing, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another?" Jesus answered him, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, those with skin disease are cleansed, the deaf hear, and the dead arise, and the poor have good news brought to them. And blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me." And I just lost it. As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to look for? A reed shaken by the wind? What then? Did you go out to see? Someone dressed in soft robes? Look at those wearing soft robes are in a royal place, royal palaces. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet, it is the one about whom it is written, 'See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you.' Truly I tell you, among those born of women, no one has arisen greater than John the Baptist. Yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." God bless the servants.
Please pray with me. O God of wisdom, you delight in deep truth. Let these words of scripture teach our hearts that we may hear your joy and gladness. For the sake of Christ, your wisdom for us. Amen. Sometimes I feel really dumb. There are a lot of really, just incredibly intelligent people out there. And they seem to know everything. I've been in classes with people who are so smart, I wonder how I was even invited to be into that room. These are people that seem to be able to easily grasp these really complicated concepts. and they have solutions, seemingly, to every problem, I'm simultaneously in awe of and feel incredibly inadequate next to people like this. Like John the Baptist. He knew Jesus was Jesus before he was even born. Like, John leapt in Elizabeth's womb when she greeted Mary because he knew something was special within her. John dedicated his whole life to preparing the way of the Lord. Living in the wilderness, preaching and teaching about God and the coming kingdom of heaven, introducing people to Jesus, baptizing him, going to prison for him. So it comes as a bit of a surprise when we see John asking, are you the one who is to come? Or are we supposed to wait for another? I don't know about you, but it makes me feel a lot better about not knowing the answer or not being able to comprehend the concept. If John the Baptist, the smartest kid in class, is questioning Jesus' messiahship, maybe it's okay if sometimes I do too. Is Jesus the real thing? Has the church really gotten a hold of something that matters? Or is this business of Christmas and its Christ just a fanciful tale? Charming, right? But ultimately powerless against the forces that dampen hopes and deaden dreams. That's a pretty dangerous question. It's pretty dangerous for me to stand up here and tell you that I have that question sometimes. Is Jesus the real thing? I mean, I'm dedicating my life to spreading the good news of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And we often think of real people of faith, real people with real spiritual depth. They never ask this question. There's a fear that just asking implies weakness and doubt. That asking makes us appear faithless. But you know what? There were a lot of people who historically, like physically, literally encountered Jesus in the flesh, who were really confused about who Jesus was. Real people who walked and talked and were healed by Jesus. They were confused by this man. It happens over and over throughout the Gospels. And at one point, Jesus even asked the disciples, who do people say that I am? Who do you say that I am? And then John the Baptist. John the Baptist, who just last week said, in reference to Jesus, one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. That John is feeling unsure. What changed? Well, for one thing, John is now a political prisoner. And when our settings and our circumstances change, we tend to have a different perspective on things. John is no longer in the wide open, sun-filled, fresh-aired wilderness with lines of people coming to him to be baptized in the Jordan River. He's now held captive distanced from others, confined to a dark, barren, stifled cell. He's in a different kind of desert now. He's no longer prophesying, but questioning. Are you the one that we're looking for? He's wondering if he's made a terrible mistake. Should we be looking for someone else? Something just didn't add up for John. Something Jesus was doing, it just didn't seem quite right. It wasn't what John was expecting. It didn't fit his idea of the Messiah. Jesus wasn't acting the way that John thought the Savior would act. And in that context, John's question actually makes a lot of sense. There were a lot of different ideas at the time about what the coming Messiah would look like. Some people expected the Messiah would be religious, a religious Messiah that would come and purify, cleanse the temple. Others looked for a military Messiah with might and who would liberate Israel through warfare, reestablish David's kingdom. The Messiah that John was looking for wasn't fitting the theology. So John wondered, are you the one we're looking for? John's questions are actually free of preconceptions. He could have tried to force Jesus into one of those models of messiahship, with questions like, he could have asked like, hey, when are you going to act against the Romans? Or, when are you going to do something to fix that corruption in the temple? Instead, John left it to Jesus and said, tell me who you are. And Jesus' answer subverted everyone's expectations. Jesus is like, hey, I can't answer for you. You have to decide on your own whether I'm for real. So take a look at the evidence. What do you see? And Jesus pointed out that the works he had been performing throughout Galilee reflected the prophecy of Isaiah. Interestingly, Isaiah doesn't actually speak of the Messiah. Rather, it speaks of God himself coming down to Israel to heal the blind, to help the lame walk, to help the deaf hear, to free poor people from their slavery. It's God who's at work through Jesus' ministry. John's question is the question that's at the heart of Advent. Are you who we're looking for? John gives voice to our hesitancy in the midst of anticipation. John allows us to express uncertainty. Even when we live on the other side of the incarnation, we already know that this is Jesus who is coming. We already know that Jesus will suffer and die and be resurrected and ascend. Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another? That's the question that we ask from the prisons that confine us to a limited concept of God. It's the question that we ask as we continue to build walls of divide with bricks of difference. It's the question we ask from the jails that we have constructed to justify our views of God over and against other people's. too often we have a fixed image of how Jesus preached and acted, and that can really limit our ability to get to know Jesus at a deeper level. And John's question calls us to break out of that rut. John lets Jesus tell him whether or not he was the Messiah. For Christians today, this is kind of a settled point, right? Jesus is the Messiah. And we still hope to find Jesus at work in our lives and throughout our world. But our images of Jesus and our understanding of the Messiah, that might be a little out of date. And because of that, that could hinder more than help us in our search for a personal relationship with Jesus. Jesus is alive and at work through the Gospels, the sacraments, the church throughout the world. Clara, you know that means that Jesus is here, right?
Jesus is here.
Jesus is here. In addition to Jesus' work in the Word and Sacrament, we too must take up Isaiah's dream and perform the works of mercy as Christ did. There are still poor to be fed, prisoners to be visited, sinners that need to confess, forgiveness that we need to dispense. Recognition takes discernment. So we seek Jesus in all of the places he tells us to look. But we're only going to find him if we're free enough to let him tell us who he is. He most certainly will not be the Messiah that we expected. He will, however, be God's real presence, active in our lives and through us in a world hungry for salvation. This week, I would like you to contemplate John's question with me. Are you who we're looking for? Don't try to answer it. Contemplate it. Don't try to solve it or tie it up in a Christmas bow. Lean into the question. Are you who we're looking for? Lean into the waiting, the wanting, and the wonder. Lean into that so that you might truly hear God's answer. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please rise as you're able and join in our closing hymn, "The King of Glory Comes."
Thank you.
Before we go back out into the world, let me offer you a charge and benediction. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. May God's joy carry you from this place and inspire you throughout this week until we meet again. May the grace, hope, peace, and love of God, the Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer, be with us all now and forever. Amen.
Amen.